Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Barry Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Well, good Wednesday to each and every one of you, wherever you might be, up and down the Stand in the Gap radio network. What a joy and blessing it is to be able to come into your life today with another edition of the program. And wherever you might be, we do want to thank you for the pleasure of your company. I am Gary Dahl, along with Sam Rohr and David Kistler. And it's just a privilege that we have to come to you day in and day out with information that we believe is advantageous to you as you do what you can to live a life that is biblically based and constitutionally correct. And, you know, here at the American Pastors Network, we believe in the authority of the Word of God. We believe that the Constitution was established on the authority of the Word of God. And you put those two things together into a radio program, and I don't know, ladies and gentlemen, but I think we've got a pretty good radio program. So we thank you for being there, and we encourage you to spread the word that we are on this radio station at this time every day, Monday through Friday. And I would encourage you to go to our Stand in the Gap radio website, which is www.standinthegapradio.com, and correspond with us through that particular site. Today, as we do every other Wednesday, we're going to be having Dr. Jimmy DeYoung with us. Of course, he's no stranger to us here on Stand in the Gap Today. He is the host of his own program called Prophecy Today. He is a Middle East expert, and it's just always a blessing to have him with us. So he will be with us, the Lord willing, during the second and the third segment. But today, Dave and Sam, just appears as though the mystery deepens around the crash of that Russian airliner over there. As far as we know at this particular point, it appears as though there's been no bomb. There's been no residue on bodies. You know, I know they're still talking about the fact that it could have happened because of that accident that the plane had back in, I think it was 2001 or 2002, when the tail hit the ground before the landing gear. And so that could certainly be a part of it. But at the same time, Sam, ISIS continues to claim that they were involved with it. What about your expert opinion on that?
Well, Gary, they do. And even as some of the Egyptian military and governmental leaders are saying that it's logical to expect that ISIS would want to take credit, and they dispute perhaps that they did, no one appears that I'm reading are absolutely ruling it out. There is saying it's not likely, but at this point in time, most of the conjectures that they have gone down have been ruled basically out of order, too, so they don't really know. The interesting thing about ISIS, I mean, obviously they look for opportunities to make themselves look good in that region of the country. That's just the way the terrorists over there operate. But I thought an interesting statement that they did make in there was, gentlemen, we dare you, basically, Russians, Egyptians, and everybody else, we kind of dare you to figure out exactly what made this thing come down, because we're not so sure that you will. But we know what we did, and in due time, we'll actually share what we actually did to bring it down. That increases the intrigue, and I have no other comment on it other than this fact, Gary, that it remains an intrigue. But because of the nature of it, and because of the impact on Egypt and Russia, and even the Prime Minister Cameron of Europe, UK, is saying, as long as this thing's going on, they don't want to be flying over that part of the country, because they don't want to put any of their people at risk either. It just remains a suspect, the thing. And when you see the headlines say mystery deepens, you know there's a little bit of an intrigue going on here.
Well, you do. And I see on the screen that Jimmy DeYoung is with us. Jimmy, do you hear us? Are you actually with us in truth and in person?
I am here in person, and great to be along with you.
And I know we are not to bring you in until the second segment, but do you have any insight as to what's going on over there at all? I mean, you know, that plane came down in the Sinai Peninsula, as it were, and I can't help but think that you go back several thousand years and Moses and his gang were walking around in that area. You know, that would have been a surprise to them if that plane would have come down then, wouldn't it?
It certainly would have been.
But anyways,
I don't think it's necessarily a surprise that it did come down in that part of the world. You've got to remember the Sinai Peninsula is basically infested with terrorists. You have the Iranians in there. You have Islamic State in there. You have Al-Qaeda in there. Remember, it was Al-Qaeda, and now the head of Al-Qaeda, Dr. Al-Sawari, he was the one who brought down Anwar Sadat. He led the assassination team, and he then took number two position for Al-Qaeda under Osama bin Laden. And when Osama bin Laden was taken out by SEAL Team 6, they were able to put him into power. So there's a connection to Egypt and to the terrorist organizations of the world, the granddaddy of all the terrorist organizations, the Muslim Brotherhood. They're headquartered in Egypt itself. So that's a very dangerous area. The Egyptians, under President al-Sisi and his military operation, they have been fighting the terroristic elements out there. I don't think that the plane was low enough for them to hit it with some type of a ground-to-air missile. But indeed, it could have been loaded with a bomb when it took off with Sharm el-Sheikh going back into Russia, and this could have been the cause. We do have definite information coming out of Moscow that the structure on the aircraft was up to par, and it was an explosion, something internal or external that took it down in midair, and it blew apart in the air. So that does sound like terrorism to me.
Well, you know, they say, that is, ISIS says, that eventually they're going to come out with how they actually did it. And, I mean, even though they may not have the weaponry to shoot that plane out of the air, I am certain that they do have the insight and the ability to put a bomb on that airplane, David. I don't know what your thoughts are along this particular line, but there's so many questions about what's happening over there with that.
Well, you know, Gary, again, I don't want to sound like this is Star Wars, what I'm about to say, but there is a video out there that you can watch that purportedly is the plane exploding in the air. Now, again, it looks like it's nowhere near the 33,000 feet that they said the plane was flying when it broke apart. But there is a video out there, and there is an explosion. There is no contrail of a missile hitting the plane. It just appears to literally explode in the back one-third of the airplane, which would, if this is the actual video of the plane exploding, it would lead you to believe there was something that took place in the rear one-third of the airplane. However, what no one is talking about is something that someone sent to me a while back. And gentlemen, I've not really said anything to you about it, but it's a military-grade laser is capable of bringing an airplane down and wreaking havoc, literally in the fuselage of an airplane. And the question is it possible that some government or even ISIS itself has been able to get a hold of technology that China or some other nation has produced that could bring down a plane like this? So, again, Gary, all of it's up in the air right now. We just don't know.
Actually, it's on the ground.
Good point.
I understand what you're saying. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a break, but when we come back again, as I mentioned and as you heard, Jimmy DeYoung is with us, and we're going to continue to talk with him about some things that are developing and even changing over in the Middle East, more specifically in Israel, and so you won't want to go away. You'll want to stay too. We will be back in about 4 minutes. This is Stand in the Gap Today from the American Pastors Network. Don't go away.
I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network. If you're a parent or grandparent and want to help bring spiritual renewal to America, here's where you should start, with your children and grandchildren. Our children need a godly education, one that mirrors the Christian values embraced by our founders and taught in the home by many of you. BJU Press, the Christian homeschool curriculum leader, makes homeschooling fun and exciting. Exceeding all national standards, BJU Press textbooks are accurate, dependable, and well-researched. They're designed to promote excellence for every child and are adaptable to different learning styles and challenges. Carefully integrating a true biblical worldview throughout BJU Press textbooks set the standard for academic instruction. That's why I so strongly endorse BJU Press textbooks and encourage their use by homeschoolers and Christian schools alike. If you're a parent and want to find out more, visit BJU Press online at bjupresshomeschool.com or by calling 800-845-5731. That's bjupresshomeschool.com.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America, using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
Charles Carroll was unique. He was the only Roman Catholic to sign the Declaration of Independence, and he outlived all the other signers. At his death, he was considered the wealthiest citizen in America. On this day, November 4th, 1800, Charles Carroll penned a letter to James McHenry, the signer of the Constitution for whom Fort McHenry was named. Charles Carroll wrote, "Without morals, a republic cannot subsist any length of time. They, therefore, who are decrying the Christian religion, whose morality is so sublime and pure, are undermining the solid foundation of morals, the best security for the duration of free governments."
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
Can you help me with this new Common Core assignment? I'm supposed to read all about global warming and how we're polluting the air just by breathing. I held my breath 10 times today because I don't want to hurt those poor polar bears.
Oh, honey, don't you worry. There are 4 times as many polar bears now than when I was a kid. You can breathe safely because you're not polluting anything. That's just another government scheme cooked up to tax and control people.
But it's right here in my Common Core book, Grandma. I'll get a bad grade if I say that. What shall I do?
Get Common Core out of your state. If you would make this your one and only project, you could change the country. But we can only make this change if we're willing to stand together. Learn more about federal Common Core and Pennsylvania Core standards and call your representatives today. Ask them to stop the national takeover of education. Go to PARestoringEducation.org or call Richard at 484-678-2236. This message brought to you by Pennsylvanians Restoring Education.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Stand in the Gap Today, and we do have with us today Jimmy DeYoung, and we mentioned, I think it was 2 weeks ago today, that Jimmy has graciously said that he would be willing to work along with us in the future when Sam and Dave and I cannot be on the program. And as I look on the calendar, I think that next Thursday will be the very first time he does that. And so, Jimmy, we want to thank you very, very much for being willing to work along with us here on Stand in the Gap Today. Our listeners may like what you do so much that Sam and Dave and I might be able to take a sabbatical for 3 or 4 years.
Well, I don't think that's going to be the case because you guys are too much on top of everything that's happening. You're traveling around the world. Sam just returning from his sojourn there in the Ukraine. I mean, you guys are really on top of it. But I'm honored that you would even consider having me join you as one of the subs for you guys, the first team will be away, and then one of the subs will go in. That's the way I was when I played football in high school, a sub. But anyway, I'm happy and thrilled and honored to be able to be with you. By the way, late breaking news, on my iPhone during the break, I got a news alert from the BBC, British Broadcasting Corporation, in London, and here's what it says. Flights from Sharm el-Sheikh, now Sharm el-Sheikh is on the coast of the Red Sea there in northern Egypt, flights from Sharm el-Sheikh to the United Kingdom have been delayed amid concerns that a Russian jet was brought down by an explosive device. The BBC, they do not just half-heartedly go out there and put something in the news, and the United Kingdom has made a decision. They're concerned enough about that explosive device possibility. They're not going to allow their jets to fly over the Sinai.
Very, very interesting. Of course, goes right along with what we are talking about here. And, you know, you talk about, you heard Dave say that there is indication out there that even our own military has the capability through laser beams to bring down a flying object. You know, if ISIS or any other terrorist group would have that, Jimmy, we would be in great trouble. I mean, airliners all across that part of the world would probably have to bypass it in some way, shape, or form if they wanted to maintain safety. You know, the terrorists are doing exactly what they want to do, and that is to bring fear into our hearts. You know, it's a serious time for us.
It is. Instilling fear in the hearts of people is the whole purpose of terrorism. They may not be able to accomplish what they want militarily in a terrorist attack, but if they could instill fear in people, listen, I've lived in Jerusalem for the last 25 years. I know what the terrorists do. They board buses there. They blow themselves up. They're suicide bombers. They kill many people on the buses. They walk into restaurants. They blow themselves up. They kill many people there. This is the whole purpose. And one of the things that the Israelis do when something like this happens, they clean up the area immediately. And once they've cleaned up the area, they get the elderly with their grandchildren to walk in that area. So they're actually saying, in your face, terrorists, look, you didn't scare us. We're going to continue to live our normal life here, and you're going to have to come with something better than that. So that is a part of the terrorism. That is the whole thrust, the philosophy of terrorism. Let me just add this, though, about the explosion of that Russian jet over the Sinai. The Israeli government has equipment installed on their El Al aircraft. That's the national carrier for the state of Israel. They have equipment installed on there to be able to divert any incoming missile that may be fired at them. And they have taken this thing over the Sinai very seriously. They say they're prepared. They say they're watching everything that's going on. They're a part of the investigative group that's come together to try to find out how it did happen. Israel wants to know for sure how it happened because of the terrorists who would like to destroy a Israeli aircraft as well. So this is a concern that we need to be focused on, I think, for a little bit. All of us have opportunity many times in a year to get on an airplane and fly someplace. And if the terrorists have this capability, especially as Dave was talking about, if they have it in their hands, just think what could happen. And we already know that there's been a number of attempts by these terrorist organizations to board aircraft. We get sometimes upset. I know I do. You guys probably as well when you're flying. And when they have to go through all this rigmarole, and I don't think they really know how to detect terrorists. I mean, not like the Israeli government knows, and they won't take lessons or information from Israel. But I'm happy to the extent that they're looking as best they possibly can with the knowledge they do have to stop any terrorists from boarding some type of an aircraft and putting a bomb on the rear section of the aircraft, like it looks, according to what they said, as to what really did happen.
Well, you know, we are living in a day where we just need to continue to trust the Lord. And I think of what Paul said to Timothy, that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and power and of a sound mind. And particularly as Christians, we do need to focus on that. But the concern is out there. I think about it every time I get on an airplane. And I know others who've just said, well, you know, as much as possible, they are going to drive or take a train or a bus. And, of course, that's good unless you're going to another country. But we are living in some very concerning and disturbing times. And certainly we need to pray for our government. We need to pray for the other free governments of the world that they might have the wisdom and the insight and the technology to be able to detect where terrorists are and to stop them to the best of their ability. And it's just an interesting time in which to live. Sam, I'm going to defer to you as we begin our specific questioning towards Jimmy today, if you would go, sir.
Yeah, absolutely, Gary. And Jim, it's great to have you back with us again. I want to jump right into this meeting that has been scheduled here right now between the United States, Russia, Syria, Iran, and Saudi Arabia, which is interesting because they're the major players there. Not working together, but increasingly there appears to be a working together with Russia. I have not seen this meeting covered extensively. Perhaps you could share some insights on what this meeting is about and why these key players are sitting down in Vienna right now.
Sam, welcome back, by the way. I'm sorry we were not able to connect when you were there in the Ukraine, but the old voice problems sometimes take us out, do they not?
Well, it does indeed.
Yes, well, I'm sorry I missed that great opportunity. Speaking of the issue of this meeting, and it's a focus on the civil war that's been going on for more than 4 years there in Syria. Over a quarter of a million Syrians have died in this civil war conflict. The first of the meetings took place last Thursday, actually in Vienna, Austria. They got together and notice the players again, Saudi Arabia, Syria, Russia, the United States, and these are the players that are much concerned about what has been going on in Syria. Saudi Arabia has been doing everything they possibly can to try to take down Bashar Assad because they believe his position as president of the country is bringing harm to the people, but it's not really a part of the cause that they would like to see prevalent throughout the entire Middle East. So they go into the meeting, and in fact, the foreign minister of Saudi Arabia has said Bashar Assad is going to have to come down. He's not going to be able to continue on as president of the country. If he will not voluntarily step aside, we're going to take him down physically. Now, they went into the meeting with that particular mindset. The United States is basically thinking along the same line. And one other participant that I forgot to mention, Iran is involved in this meeting. This is quite an earth-shaking development because this is the first time Iran has been able to come to the table in a legitimate meeting with world leaders other than a focus on the development of a nuclear weapon of mass destruction. This is letting the bars down as far as the Iranian government is concerned. And there you have then at the table the United States, Saudi Arabia, and on the other side of the table, you have the leadership of Syria, you have Russia, and you also have Iran. Russia and Iran have boots on the ground. Revolutionary Guard are in Syria. The Russian aircraft are bringing in weapons for the Revolutionary Guard to use. They're doing this on a daily basis against the sanctions that have been put in place for any type of weaponry being brought into Syria. Vladimir Putin is making a statement after a meeting in Moscow with Bashar Assad, ultimately giving a little bit of a light to those who would like to take Bashar Assad down. He said, we're not going to necessarily prop him up forever. In fact, the Iranians made the exact same thing. But at the end of that meeting on last Thursday, the Iranians walked out of the meeting because I don't really think they want to get rid of Bashar Assad. They've been spending $13 billion a year to prop him up to help pay for what's going on in this civil war. Now, they've delayed the next meeting for a two-week period of time, and that's when it's going to really get dirty down in the ground and determine what they're going to do with Syria.
Anderson, thank you, Jimmy. Gary?
Jimmy DeYoung, we always appreciate your insight, and we'll continue this discussion when we come back after the break. So, ladies and gentlemen, please stay tuned. It's just a three-minute break, so we won't be going away that long. Get a cup of coffee, take a drink of water, but join us again in 3 minutes. Here we are with Jimmy DeYoung. This is Stand in the Gap Today from the American Pastors Network.
There's hundreds of fun and simple things you and your family can do to live a healthier lifestyle. Here's 20 of them. Walk to work, walk the dog, have the dog walk you, take a hike, take a bike, skate, dance, hop, jump, do the Humpty Hump, skip seconds, skip dessert, skip, skip, skip to my loo, don't skip breakfast, drink H2O, lower your sodium, raise the roof, shake your booty, stock up on vegetables, and don't forget to eat them. Search We Can online to find more ways you and your family can get healthy together. A message from the Ad Council, HHS, and NIH's We Can program.
Fox News Radio. I'm Chris Foster. There was a manhunt for suspects and a hero's funeral, but now we're told Fox Lake, Illinois police officer Joe Glenowitz was stealing from a department youth program and staged his suicide, shooting himself in the chest.
Analysts determined the trail of equipment consisting of pepper spray, a baton, and his personal glasses was an attempt to mislead first responders and investigators to believe this was a homicide scene.
Lake County Major Crimes Task Force Commander George Filenko. Donald Trump is formally signed up to run in the New Hampshire primary, the first in the country, 3 months away. His prediction for the Republican campaign:
Rubio's going down next.
Democrat Martin O'Malley signed up in New Hampshire today as well, saying he'd like more debates.
I would have anticipated more. I think we all did.
There is a debate on Friday. Fox News, we report. You decide.
Working for your liberty right here in Philadelphia. Broadcasting freedom shining light throughout the tri-state area. Streaming freedom shining light from Philly to the nations. 1180 shining forth, we are the Freedom Station. WFYN.
From the Pennsylvania Family Institute, I'm Michael Gear with today's Family Update. Last Friday, Pennsylvania Family Institute held its annual Friends of the Family Banquet, and we were joined by more than 900 pro-family friends and supporters from throughout Pennsylvania. The theme for the evening was our Wilberforce moment, and keynote speaker Eric Metaxas has eloquently written and spoken about the parallels between our time with the exposés on Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry and William Wilberforce's successful efforts to end the slave trade by exposing the British public to its horrors. Plus, we heard an uplifting testimony from Kelvin Cochran, the Atlanta fire chief who was fired for his faith. He told us how we can stand firm with joy and confidence in God. Thanks to all who joined us, and if you didn't, well, maybe we'll see you next year. I'm Michael Gear of the Pennsylvania Family Institute. Visit our website at pafamily.org.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for staying with us, and along with David Kistler and Sam Rohr, I'm Gary Dahl, and of course we have with us also again today Dr. Jimmy DeYoung. And Dave, I will defer to you for a question for Brother Jimmy.
Well, Gary, thank you very much. Brother Jimmy, great to have you aboard. I want to ask you a question. Our president has just decided within the last several days to send 50 special operations forces into northern Syria to help with the combating of the ISIS entity that has been wreaking havoc across Iraq, Syria, and a good portion of the Middle East. My question to you is this, 50 people. What in the world is our president thinking, and does he have any serious intention at all in trying to bring ISIS and what they're trying to do to a conclusion?
I got to tell you, Dave, that's sounding like you're going to take a teacup and try to empty out the ocean. That's totally ridiculous. 50 men. Now, they could go in there possibly and train some of those who are opposed to Bashar Assad. I'm not even sure that's a very smart move, because the rogue players that are trying to bring down Bashar Assad, I know Bashar Assad is a bad man, but it's better to know the devil that we do know and understand what he's going to do than not know the one that we're going to try to put in place to replace Bashar Assad. Let me just jump off of something I said in the last segment, if you will, and then we'll get to continue your conversation with the question you just asked. And that is, the fact is, I mentioned those people at the table in Vienna, Austria, were Russia, Iran, and Syria. If you look at the prophetic scenario found in Ezekiel chapter 38 and Daniel chapter 11, you'll see the major players are Russia, Iran, and Syria. In fact, Syria is the first of all of those alignment of nations to make a move against the Jewish state of Israel. The Russian military, their air force, did an air-to-ground attack on Islamists at Israel's northern border last week, and I have never seen it like this ever since I have been studying Bible prophecy, and that's over 50 years, where Russia, Iran, and Syria are aligning together at Israel's northern border. Now, they're doing this under the auspices. They're trying to eliminate Islamic State. What's happening, those Russian aircraft are going more after the opponents of Bashar Assad than they are Islamic State. And when you have a president who's going to put only 50 combat soldiers in the area and try to bring an end to this conflict that's been going on for more than 4 years now, I don't think he is serious. How could he be serious, Dave, and make that kind of decision? I have talked with people at the Pentagon. I know some of the people who are involved in the strategy-making process there at the Pentagon. They think this is one of the most ridiculous moves. It looks like a kindergarten move instead of a world leader's move to try to help bring resolution. You remember early on, they said he was going to take down Bashar Assad. They said they were going to arm all of those opponents to the Assad regime. He backed away from that. They had some difficulty with the weapons of mass destruction, chemical weapons there in Syria. He backed away from that. Now he's only putting 50 soldiers in. Sounds ridiculous to me, Sam. I mean, today.
You know, I want to follow up on that just a little bit, Jimmy. You know, when this came out that he was going to put 50 soldiers in there, and I think they're special ops folks and so forth, I was talking to my 10-year-old grandson, and he said, "Papa, what in the world is that going to do?" You know, and so when the 10-year-old has a better insight than our president, you know, something is absolutely wrong. But, you know, you'd mentioned Assad and the different times that Obama has said he was going to do this or that or the other thing. What has happened to that red line that he gave Assad a couple of years ago? And why do you think Obama continues to back off of some of the things that he says he's going to do? What's behind all of that in your thinking, Jimmy?
Well, I don't think he understands foreign policy, number one. I'm absolutely convinced he does not understand Middle East policy. You might remember early on in his presidency, I think it was the first summer of his presidency, he went into Cairo, Egypt. He did a major address there, and he addressed basically the Islamic world, and he made the statement, we are not at war with Islam. And so he's trying to stay true to what he said in that first address to the Islamic world. He went to Saudi Arabia. He bowed down to the king then, which was King Abdullah, who has died in the recent months. But I have an idea that this man is not telling us the truth about what his faith is. He tried to pretend he was a Christian for 23 years. He was in a church that taught wrong doctrine, that cursed the United States of America. I don't see how he could have truly been a born-again, Bible-believing, blood-bought Christian and stayed in a church like that. We know he went to the Madras the first 6 years of his life. The Madras is the training area for the children coming into the Islamic world. He was indoctrinated. Remember, the Catholic Church says, give me the first 6 years of any child's life, I'll have them for the rest of their life. I think he has leanings. I'm not going to make an absolute statement because I don't know that he's a Muslim. But boy, he sure has leanings. He does not want to do anything. We can't even mention terror. and these are terrorists that are actually doing what they're doing. I think that's a part of his whole overall philosophy. And, Gary, I don't think that you can make proper decisions then militarily when that is your overall philosophy and you're trying to protect what you've said in the past.
And, Jimmy, and I'm going to follow up on that because you talk about strange policy. When Russia came down into the Middle East, they said to the United States, hey, look, you've not done a good job, been unsuccessful in fighting ISIS. We're going to come down and take these guys out. But in our opinion, a terrorist is a terrorist is a terrorist, regardless of who and what they are. They invited the United States to work with them. The United States said, no, sorry, we don't want to. Now the headlines coming out are that, in fact, U.S. pilots are communicating with Russian pilots. And they are, Russia says that the United States is now working with them. This whole shifting that's going on, how do you see that actually working itself out? Is the U.S. going to be totally capitulating and just allowing Russia just to run roughshod over everything? Or just talk on that, please.
I don't know if you saw the release from Forbes magazine today, but it listed the top 100 most powerful people in the world. And number one on that list was Vladimir Putin.
I believe
this man is the most influential, most powerful man in the world today.
Mm-hmm.
And the president of the United States cannot hold a candle to what this man's doing. This man has understood strategy for years and years and years. I mean, after the Olympics last year, what did he do? He went to the Ukraine. He took over Crimea because he needed a warm water port. This man is running. I'm talking about Vladimir Putin now. He's running steps ahead of every world leader, in particular the world leader of the United States. And you cannot play catch-up ball with a man who's probably the best running back you've ever seen on a football field. So, indeed, that is, I'm using the analogy, of course, that everybody might recognize, but that is what's going on here. It is true, Sam, you're absolutely correct, that American aircraft, U.S. aircraft, have been flying combat operations over the airspace of Syria only with the allowance of the Russians letting that take place. At first, Russia said they're not going to fly into any of Syrian airspace, but now they're doing that, trying to coordinate everything. And this is a part of the development in the Middle East, along with everything else. I mean, the elections recently in Turkey, all of this coming together to put together that end time scenario that God's Word talks about.
Jimmy, I know we've got just a few minutes left, but I want to ask you a question about these cameras that Israel and Jordan have collectively or together agreed to have set up on the Temple Mount. Of course, the Palestinians are very much resisting that. I'd love for you to speak to this and give your opinion on that. And then I want to specifically ask this. Do you think that those cameras that will be videoing that area of Temple Mount, if they're allowed to go up, could play any part in the end time scenario of the two witnesses and their bodies lying there in the city of Jerusalem being seen by the world? Is that a possibility?
Absolutely, David. That is most exciting to me. I cannot believe what happened. John Kerry, the Secretary of State, went into Amman, Jordan. He met with King Abdullah there. King Abdullah has not been talking to the leadership, to Prime Minister Netanyahu of Israel, because of what he is saying is extreme security measures on the Temple Mount, and Israel only trying to shut down the violence perpetrated upon the Jewish people there on the Temple Mount by the Palestinians. So King Abdullah came up with the suggestion, okay, let's put cameras up on the Temple Mount. That'll be a win-win for everybody, because then we can determine if indeed there is terroristic activity among the Palestinians, and also the Israelis will be shown to the world that they are using excessive force to try to shut this violence down. Then he said, King Abdullah said, not only did I want to put cameras up there, and by the way, John Kerry took that to Netanyahu, Prime Minister said, absolutely, let's do it. Now they want to put it on the internet. That worked into that scenario, Revelation chapter 11, when those two witnesses lay in the streets of Jerusalem, the world will see them dead for 3.5 days from those cameras on the Temple Mount.
Jimmy DeYoung, you're phenomenal, and we want to thank you very, very much for being with us, and keep up the good work in your own ministry, and we'll continue to look forward to a relationship with you here at Stand in the Gap today. God bless you, my friend. And ladies and gentlemen, we are going to be back after this break with some more information for you, so you won't want to go away. It's It's a delight to have you with us. Stay tuned. We'll be back right after this.
A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. But have you ever stopped to ask how much is enough or how much is too much? Will the money you leave to your family come between them and God? I believe that God increases our wealth not to increase our standard of living, but to increase our standard of giving. This is Roy Russell, president of the Life Financial Group, a Christian wealth advisory firm. We work with believers and especially widows to wisely manage their wealth and efficiently pass it on to their children and grandchildren. We are financial, tax, and estate planners. We help successful Christians make wise decisions with their money so they can better provide for their families and leave a legacy of significance. Please call me with your questions or to discuss your needs and desires at 800-688-5800 or online at thelifegroup.org. That's thelifegroup.org.
Securities and advisory services offered through Genios Wealth Management, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
We've all heard the child's song, Dare to be a Daniel, Dare to stand alone. Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, asking you, have you ever stood alone? Are you willing to stand alone? As a young boy, Daniel stood alone. As a politician, he stood alone. As a preacher, he stood alone. Standing alone is not easy, but standing in the power of God's might for the sake of truth, for the sake of obedience to God's word, is required of all those who believe. You see, Daniel made it clear he worshiped God, that his faith was in God, and that his life revolved around God. His friends knew it, the king knew it, his enemies knew it. So when the command to not pray to God was given, Daniel did as he always did. He prayed, and then he stood alone with the lions. Unafraid, always trusting, Daniel stood alone. I'm Sam Rohr of the American Pastors Network asking you, are you willing to stand alone for God today?
Join the Pennsylvania Pastors Network at papastors.net.
Pennsylvania Leadership Charter School is an online public school for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Founded in 2004, our mission is to have a school where children can see the world, develop character, promote independence, and become lifelong learners. We teach our students to be leaders, thinkers, and scientists. They are taught to be logical and critical in thinking. Some of our classical teaching methods range from online class lectures to debates to Socratic teaching, which develops the art of speaking and writing. We encourage our students to be well-rounded by participating in sports, the arts, and their communities. Your child can benefit from this style of innovative education. Visit us at palcs.org or call 1-877-725-2785.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Just a bit of shop talk here with you folk. You ladies and gentlemen who listen to us on a regular basis would have no idea about the amount of material that we have before us that we could bring before you on a day-by-day basis. And when you top that off with what we already have, things taking place all of the time around us in the news, things breaking here and things breaking there, sometimes, folks, it gets very frustrating to try to determine what to bring you and what to comment on. But we do thank you for your prayers, and we thank you for being there and listening to us, and we would encourage you to let others know about the program. But, David, I want to follow up with the question that you asked a little bit ago, that you asked Jimmy DeYoung about, and that is that the idea that Israel and Jordan have agreed to set up video cameras there on the Temple Mount. And your question was, would that play into the revelation of the two witnesses that are seen there in Revelation chapter 11? In my own Sunday services, in the morning service here at the Faith Baptist Church of Altoona where I pastor, I'm going through Ezekiel 38 and 39, the battle of Gog and Magog and so forth and so on. And when we see things like these cameras being put up on the Temple Mount, when we see nations coming together as we see them, even as we speak over there in the Middle East, that could indicate the buildup toward Gog and Magog, why in the world is it, number one, David, that many Christians are skeptical to the fact that what we are seeing is the buildup towards the end of the age as we know it? And why is it that unbelievers won't even want to hear about it? I mean, all we need to do when we read the Bible is to look at the morning news and see how that the both of them are coming together day in and day out. Is God putting a blindness on people's hearts today? Or are they just choosing not to believe what they're seeing?
Well, Gary, what I'm afraid is happening is this. There's a creeping blindness because of people's rejection of truth that is coming over both the unsaved world as well as far too many within the Church of Jesus Christ to not see the things that Dr. DeYoung has just so clearly laid out in front of us. To me, you have to have a blinders on your eyes for sure not to see and understand what's going on. Gary, if I could very quickly just go to the issue that you asked me about, and that's those two witnesses referenced in Revelation 11. Can I just read this, because Gary, if these cameras that are going to evidently go, or at least possibly go up on the Temple Mount, do not play into this scenario, I don't know what does. Revelation 11 verse 3 says this, "And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. And if any man will hurt them," that is initially hurt them or try to harm them, "fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed." Verse number 7 says, "And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast," who is the Antichrist, "that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit, shall make war against them, and shall overcome them, and kill them, and their dead bodies shall be in the street of the great city," which is the city of Jerusalem, "and the people of and they of all people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half, and they're not going to be buried during that time." So, Gary, for years, people wondered, how's that going to take place? I understand we live in a day where everybody has a cell phone camera and they take pictures and so on. But, Gary, this proposal to put these cameras up on the Temple Mount ratchets this up to a whole new level and creates the possibility for this very scenario to be observed by the eyes of the world.
Well, and what you're saying, David, is that, God is allowing mankind to develop technology so that we can see how that things that are stated forth in the book of the Revelation can become a reality. I remember 30, 40, 50 years ago, well, maybe not 50, but 40 years ago, I'm sure, where people would say, how in the world can anything like that happen? Like with the return of Christ, when we talk about the fact that every eye shall behold
every
him.
Every eye.
How will that be? Well, we can see it today. I mean, you could put a camera right where you are and the whole world see it right now.
Well, Gary, exactly right. 50 years ago, 100 years ago, prophecy scholars or preachers had to read those passages, come away scratching their head, trying to figure out how is that possible? Well, Gary, now, as we watch war as it unfolds, as we watch street chases, you know, with the police pursuing a vehicle in California, and we watch it as it occurs, Gary, we no longer wonder how this could be a possibility. This situation, though, that's proposed by Israel and Jordan has just taken this thing to a whole new level. So how anyone could not see it, Gary, the only explanation is there is a blindness that the wicked one has brought over their eyes that they just cannot see it.
Sam, my question to you is a simple one. What must people do in light of what we see taking place in the world today?
Gary, it is simple. The only thing that brings clarity out of confusion, the only thing that brings light into darkness is the truth. These things that we are talking about, how one perceives reality, is all based on if one actually embraces the truth as God lays it out. Now, we know that in the end days that deception will reign. Dave, what he's talking about, it could also be described as deception. Deception is enormous today. What is the truth? That's what everybody's saying. What's the truth? Well, the truth comes out of God's word, looking through the scriptural lens, biblical worldview lens of scripture. And as Jimmy has said many times on this program, you cannot understand what's happening in the geopolitical reality of the world as we see it without looking through the biblical filter of prophecy. And that's what we're talking about right here. Without it, you come to many false conclusions. With it, you come to the conclusion that God is in charge. His sovereignty is ruling in the affairs of nations, and he is bringing about his plan as laid out from the beginning of time. And people have a choice. Are we going to be on his side? Are we going to comfort ourselves by staying in the realm of deception and darkness? So there's a choice I think that people can make, but we are in days of great darkness and deception, but also great excitement.
Well, it is. And yet, you know, even within the body of Christ, even within the church, David, there are people who try to sweep this under the carpet a little bit, and that shouldn't be done either.
Well, no, Gary, it shouldn't. In fact, I was just thinking as Sam was speaking, I wanted to ask you and wanted to ask Sam this question. Gary, I know you do it because I know who you are and I know what you believe. Sam, I know you do this because I know who you are and what you believe. But gentlemen, how often is it that if you're out visiting a church and you're just a visitor there for a Sunday evening, Wednesday evening, how often, men, because I very seldom, when I'm visiting anywhere, hear anyone addressing, as far as a pastor, these kind of things from the pulpit. Some that maybe will talk to you about it in person are fearful to bring it before their people because they don't want to frighten their people. Gentlemen, is that where we are? If it is, we're in trouble.
Well, it is. And, you know, in light of what you said, Dave, here where I pastor, as you know, we have radio, television, and internet ministries. And I'm amazed how many people from other churches will respond to our messages like you have just responded there. Why aren't other preachers preaching these same things? I don't have the answer, other than the fact that they do not want to preach the whole counsel of God. And ladies and gentlemen, here at the American Pastors Network, we believe in the whole counsel of God and will portray the whole counsel of God. Well, thank you for joining us today. The Lord willing, we will see you tomorrow. Until then, keep looking up. The best is yet to come.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler. Brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.americanpastorsnetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap Today.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.